Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig Faust, and I am going to be talking to you a little bit about how to slow your racing mind. So this is something that you may be listening to it and you're like, well, I do have a racing mind, or I have racing thoughts. Or you may notice someone in your life that also has racing thoughts, and usually can kind of pick up on this pretty easy, is that they seem to be always distracted, or they just talk really fast. It's almost like a lot of, this is kind of stereotypical, but people that have ADHD are also are often thought of having racing minds and everything. And there are some truths to racing thoughts. And some of those truths are, whenever our thoughts are racing, one, it is hard to focus. And two, it's hard not to feel amped up whenever our thoughts are racing. And our thoughts could be racing because we're really excited. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, because there's huge problems going on. But there's a couple of things that happen whenever our thoughts are racing. And I want to start with that, right? We want to start with, why do we want to slow down our mind? Why do we want to slow down our thoughts so that they are not racing? And the answer actually becomes pretty simple, is that racing thoughts consume more energy in our body. So our brain produces thoughts. That's its function, no different than how your heart's function is to beat and to pump blood and to create that that pumping action, and then the retracting, where it takes blood up back into it so that it can then be pumped out again, right? So the brain's function is to produce thoughts and to go through this huge coordination effort with other functions in the body. Now, if you are having racing thoughts, that means that your brain is producing more thoughts, and more thoughts require more resources, more neurotransmitters. And if you kind of want to learn more about the brain in general and how it operates, I would recommend you hop on over to one of our very first episodes, Brain Basics, and you can kind of learn more about that. But thoughts themselves produce or they require a certain amount of energy. And more thoughts that you have, the more and more energy that it requires. So if you're someone that has racing thoughts, you probably realize by the end of the day, or not even at the end of the day, probably even before that, where you start to feel tired. And some of you may have had racing thoughts for so long that you just become used to it, almost like a certain type of numbness to it. All those things are pretty common. And it is a huge energy drain on us whenever our thoughts are racing. And there's been a great movement in our culture, in our country, in the countries across the world, and it's called mindfulness, right? And it's really based in meditation, really being able to focus and reduce the speed in which our mind is producing thoughts. And it's something that's terribly hard, because the simple truth is that whenever our brain is producing a lot of these thoughts and it's racing and our thoughts are racing, the simple truth is that it does that because that's the way that we have trained our brain to be, or that is the way that our brain has responded to be trained. It's the way that's responded to your environment. So let me give you an example. If I have learned over time that my life is very chaotic and very stressful, and that by my mind producing many, many, many thoughts, it's actually served some type of function as to making me feel like I have a certain amount of control over my world, or it's helped me deal with things that are really difficult. I've been able to outthink problems that have been in my life. Then that gets reinforced. Right? It gets reinforced in our brain. So our brain starts to produce more and more thoughts, because the more and more thoughts that get produced, the more and more likely we are to overcome problems and challenges that we face. So a lot of times racing thoughts is actually a reinforced behavior. It's a reinforced condition of our brain. Whereas having a little or a very small amount of thoughts is usually not reinforced. So if we, like going back to our chaotic life situation, if we have a chaotic life, a lot of times thinking fast and having a bunch of thoughts is helpful. Or if we're in a, maybe we've grown up in a home, or maybe we're currently in a situation where things just don't feel that safe, where you know, a parent, or where a sibling or a spouse or whatever can just yell at us, or they can flip on a dime in a moment's notice, and they can blow up or whatever. It might not feel very safe in your home. And when you run the risk of having conflict or fight or anything like that, a lot of times our brain goes into overdrive. Right, we've talked about this when we, you know, we talked about stress response and our trauma response, is that a lot of times the result of difficulty or difficult situations is that our brain goes into overdrive and produces more thoughts, and more of those thoughts that get produced, the more likely we might be to solve a problem. And the more and more we do that, the more and more it gets reinforced in the brain. The brain only does what you train it to do. So if our brain gets trained to stay in high gear all the time, then that's what it's going to do. And we want to try to shift it back down to a slower pace. And we want to do this to conserve energy. We want to do it so that we can relax. We want to do this too so that we can actually focus on like a very particular thing, or so that it's easier for us to pay attention. If my mind is racing and I'm outside playing with my son, and let's say that it's pretty hot whenever I'm recording this out here in the Midwest. So let's say that I am out there and he's splish-splashing in his little pool and I am just distracted. My mind is running 1,000 miles a minute and it's just really hard for me to sit and enjoy my son playing in the pool. It's really hard for me to enjoy interacting with him, or it's really hard for me to kind of get in with how excited he is, or how much he loves his baby pool or anything like that. It's really hard for me to do that because my mind is racing. And yeah, like sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool, he's in the pool and everything. But I'm also worried about money. I'm worried about my spouse. I'm worried about like, oh my gosh, what kind of world is my son going to grow up in? I'm worried about the heat and gosh, it's going to kill my grass. And I'm worried about, oh my gosh, like, am I going to be able to make this house payment next? And I look over at my deck and I'm like, man, that needs to be repainted. And I worry about my job. And right, if my brain is trained to think a lot, well, guess what? There's plenty of things to think about. There's plenty of things to contemplate. And the more and more we do that, the harder and harder it is for us to enjoy what is happening now. If I'm having a nice, pleasant date with my wife and my mind is racing, I can't enjoy just being with her. And you know what? It might feel like being with my wife is actually stressful, whenever in reality, it's all these thoughts that are going through my head that are stressful. Right? So racing thoughts make us feel like the world is a stressful place. It makes us feel like the world is a place in which we have to use our brains to overcome a lot of the challenges. And you may be listening to this and you're like, well, Craig, I do have to think a lot. And Craig, the world is a dangerous place. And yeah, there may be some truth to that. And helping your mind slow down is actually going to help you thrive more. It's going to help you survive more. Because the more and more that we produce the thoughts, the harder and harder it'll be for us to respond appropriately whenever a situation calls for it. So I want to tell you just a little bit. I'm going to tell on myself actually here for a moment. So me being a counselor, that means that there are certain inherent things that I have to take notice and I have to take stock in myself. And one of the things is I have to take stock and notice of whenever I get angry, right? We just got done doing an intense emotion series, right, where we had two episodes where we talked about that so far. And I've noticed over the past couple of days that I have been getting angry. So what happens to me whenever I get angry? Well, I know what happens to me. My mind starts racing. And whenever my mind starts racing, I start to enjoy the days a little less. I enjoy spending time with my wife a little less. I enjoy spending time with my son a little less. And that's because my mind is just going, going, going. And it focuses on the problems that I'm facing because that's what I've trained it to do. So whenever I can slow that down, which is what we're going to talk about here in a moment, it gets me into a different place. It gets me into a different spot where I can actually enjoy life, right? And we have to train our brain to do that because we usually train our brain to speed up. We usually train our brain to produce more thoughts. So we just simply have to train our brain to reduce the amount of thoughts that it's normally doing. Now, you can't ever get to a place where your brain is not producing any thoughts, right? That's what it does. It's a thought-producing machine, right? So talking, kind of rewinding just a little bit and talking a little bit about mindfulness. So mindfulness is there's a reason that it was such a big hit, and it's such a big hit in other countries and everything, is because mindfulness is an exercise of trying to reduce the amount of thoughts that are being produced by your brain. And a lot of times you do this by trying to focus on something that is in the present moment. And every time that you notice that your brain is focused on something else or it leaves that focus or anything, you simply kindly guide your attention back to whatever it is. You see, our brain has several different parts of it that are dedicated to attention. And those parts are what are responsible for our attention waning or wandering. And it's also what's responsible for us jumping from thought to thought to thought to thought to thought. So we want to train these specific areas of our brain. And mindfulness is probably one of the easiest ways. And you may be listening to this and you're like, okay, well, Craig, I don't want to sit down and like meditate or something like that. And that's fine. You don't have to do that. In fact, I'd say there's probably a little bit easier ways to be introduced to it. A lot of times whenever people meditate, they try for much longer than they should. When you're focusing on slowing down the thoughts that are going on in your brain, and you're trying your best to kind of dampen how many of them are just flowing through, you want to give yourself something that's easy to focus on, all right? So if you're not practiced in doing this, you don't want to sit there and try to like focus on your heartbeat. If you're not practicing this, you don't want to start by like focusing on your breath. You can, but those are hard things to do. So one of the things that I would do first is actually try to focus on taste. I would grab some type of meal that you might enjoy and allow yourself to sit there and just focus solely on the act of tasting and chewing and then swallowing the food. So just focusing only on those sensations. And when your mind wanders, guide it back. So this is an activity that, in my opinion, is much more pleasurable and it's much easier to focus on. But what you want to do is give yourself the opportunity to focus really, really intensely on something that you're experiencing. So it doesn't have to be this either. It can be something that you focus on. So this is something that I do. And it may just be because I'm weird. I don't know. So I like to focus on how it feels whenever I start to walk into a pool, like the feeling of water on my skin. Or I really like to focus on, I'm a very tactile person. So even right here while I'm talking to you, sitting here on my couch, in my right hand, I have this pillow. And it has a very unique type of texture to it. And I enjoy putting my hand on it and just rubbing it. And being able, like I can sit here and I'd actually be able just to focus solely on this. It's all about putting your focus on something so that you're allowing your thoughts to slow down. If I'm just focusing on this pillow, or right now actually even doing these podcasts is sometimes an exercise in this. Like right now whenever I'm doing it alone, because I can just focus on, you know, the topic but I can also really focus on the vibration of my voice and even just speaking this and how it feels in my throat whenever I'm getting ready to speak or utter a word. So I'm still focusing on a couple different things, but it may not be as many thoughts as I'm used to. So the key to slowing down the amount of thoughts that are going on is finding something that you can focus on. You want yourself to be successful with this, so pick something that you enjoy doing, or pick something that's easier for you to focus on. Don't pick something that's really hard, right? I don't want to hold a rock in my hand and try to focus on how it feels if I really don't like the texture of the rock, or I really don't like the weight of it in my hand, right? Don't punish yourself. Mindfulness is not meant to be a punishment or anything like that. So you find something that you can focus on, and this can be a conversation. It can be a walk. It can be whatever you choose. It can be reading. Something where you focus your attention on something that produces less thoughts than you just sitting there. Now, a lot of people may be listening to this and are like, well, Craig, that is like just distracting myself. And I thought that distracting myself from things isn't really a good thing, right? I shouldn't be kicking a can down the road for a problem that I'm trying to solve. And there is some legitimacy in that. The challenge is that you don't want to constantly be distracted from stuff, but you do want to give your brain a break from producing a ton of thoughts. You want to give your brain a break because whenever you give your brain a break, you get to recharge a little bit. And when you recharge a little bit and you go back to a problem, all of a sudden, things are a little more clear. They're a little more crisp. And that's because you've given your brain the opportunity to recharge. So this happens to me every time that I'm getting ready to record this podcast. I'm like, okay, what do I feel like may be helpful for people to talk about, or that I would talk about today, what may be helpful for someone that's listening to this? If I was listening to this, what would be something that I would want to know? And a lot of times whenever I'm toying around with that idea, I start to notice that my thoughts can go in all kinds of different directions. So one of the things I'll be like, well, you know what? What would be helpful for me to talk about right now that may be helpful for me to hear if I was listening to this? And I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, well, gosh, you know what? My mind's been racing a lot lately, so I should talk about that. And it becomes easier because then I can focus down on that. I can hone in on it. And I can focus all of my thoughts on, what do I know about slowing down thoughts? And then, after I'm done with this, whenever I spent this time focusing on thoughts, because I've been talking to you all about it and sharing this information, then all of a sudden my brain feels a little more refreshed because it hasn't been stuck. It hasn't been stuck in producing all kinds of different thoughts that are all tangled in different threads of different worries, or different feelings, different concerns, or anything like that. So being able to focus on something is probably one of the easiest ways. Another way to do this, and this is much more sensational, is if you're wanting to, not only is this more sensational, but this is very helpful if you're someone that has a ton of things going on in your life, is that you take a certain thought. You pick out one of the thoughts out of maybe the ton of them that are racing in your head, and you try to focus on that particular thought. The only thing that exists is that thought, and you try to focus on just that thought. So like if I'm sitting here and my mind is racing, and even just while I'm talking to you, I'll just kind of let it go just a little bit to see what starts to show up for me. And something that shows up for me, like just even right away, even when I just let it go, is I get worried about a pandemic, right? Right now, whenever I'm recording this, is during the COVID-19 pandemic. And my worry that starts to kind of creep into my mind, I may just focus on that for a second, that worry that I have, that I don't really know what to believe, I don't really know what to think about it. I know that a lot of people have different opinions about it. And even whenever I'm talking about it right now, I can kind of feel that worry. I could feel it usually when I feel worry in my gut, but this is not in my gut. It's actually more on my chest. And this gives me something to focus on right there, is just the sensation and the feeling in my chest. And since it was a thought that I produced, and I can link it to a sensation in my body, it makes it easier for me to focus on and hone in on. And the more and more you can focus on something like that, the more and more you can help your thoughts slow down. So it's a training process, and you may even be listening to this, and maybe you've stopped this recording so you can try it, or maybe you're willing to try it afterwards if you're in the experimental mindset, which hopefully if you're listening to this, you are. Then it is a training process. You are training your brain to do something different. If you're used to your thoughts running rampant all the time, you have to train your thoughts to slow down. So it's not going to happen in one try or two try or three tries. It's going to be a process that happens over time. And that's cool. That's awesome. That's no different than working out, or it's no different than changing your eating habits. Actually, I'd say it's probably a little bit easier than changing your eating habits, but you are working towards helping your brain think and use information and use its resources a different way. So because of that, you have to build in a little bit of consistency in your schedule. And if you're sitting here and you're like, well, Craig, I don't have consistency, my mind's racing right now, and I need to stop myself from thinking about a ton of things right now, okay, then do something sensational. Take your shoes off and feel the way that your toes or your feet feel against the ground as you walk around. Right now I'm in a carpeted room, and I can rub my foot on it, and I can just feel some of the strands and the sensation, what it's like. Allow yourself to just focus on something like that. It's always easy to focus on sensational things. It's easier to do that than thoughts sometimes, in my opinion. But it's different for everybody. Give yourself a task that you can become absorbed in. There's a reason why sometimes whenever people's thoughts just run rampant, there's sometimes, they get soothed by cleaning, or they might get soothed by doing different tasks, or by doing certain chores or anything. Or some people get soothed by doing work. It's because in those moments, some people, that's whenever their mind is actually the calmest. So that's the only thing that we're doing, is we're wanting to tap into those same systems of allowing you to become calm. A lot of times therapists teach people how to calm and slow their mind by focusing on their breathing, right? Where you might breathe in and you count to like 3 or 4 seconds while you're breathing in, and you hold it for 3 or 4 seconds, and then you breathe out fully for 3 or 4 seconds. A lot of times therapists do this because it's really easy to focus on your breath and you have control over it. But you have to do whatever works for you. Right, for me, sensations and touch works better for me. And you have to be a little bit experimental to see what works for you, to help just slow down your thinking just a little bit. Because if you continue to allow your mind to race, well, guess what? You're just reinforcing your mind being trained to race. If you notice that you have a child that has a racing mind, then you have to help give them tasks or give them things that are soothing for them, so that they can just slow down a little bit. My son, who is knocking on the door of 2 years old at the time of this recording, he is a ball of energy. He does not like to sit down. He does not like to sit still too much. But I tell you what, every week that we sit in here on Sunday, and like I said, this is during the pandemic, so we're quarantined and everything, and every time that it's Sunday and we come up to our computer room to watch, we live in a two-story home, so we come upstairs to watch our church service on Sundays, he will have a really great time, like the first 10 or 15 minutes that we're up here. And then after that, he gets a little bit antsy. It's hard for him to sit there, and he wants to find something to throw around or something to mess with or discover something new. So my wife had this great idea. She got him this giant coloring pad and these giant thick coloring I guess, colors crayons. And we just open up his giant pad of paper that he has. We give him a crayon or two, and we watch him to make sure he doesn't mark all over the walls or anything. I know some of you parents are listening to this, and you're waiting for me to say that. But so far, he has not marked all over our walls. But he will just sit there, and he will just draw and color on these blank, giant pieces of paper. And it just helps calm him down. It helps soothe them. And that's what works for him. That's what works for my 2-year-old. And you know what? Sometimes you can be a 32-year-old or you can be a 92-year-old and coloring still works, right? Everything is just a little bit different for each of us about what works to help calm us down. So we got to be a little bit experimental to test that out. If we have kids that, they're really hyper or they're overactive or anything, the likelihood is that their mind is producing a ton of thoughts too. And we just got to give them the opportunity to be calm as well. And sometimes we got to be a little bit creative with that. And that creativity made some people very wealthy with like fidget spinners and different things like that. So that's kind of our role, is to be aware of our mind is speeding, and it's in our best interest to help slow it down, to conserve energy so that we're not exhausted every day, so that we're not worried and we're not anxious every day, because that's really what happens is when our mind starts racing, a lot of times our anxiety goes up. And, you know, if you're sitting here listening to this and you're 20 or 30 years into a racing mind, you probably don't even notice it anymore. And the only thing that you may notice is that whenever you're really relaxed, like maybe on vacation, or maybe when there's just nothing going on, or maybe you're someone that listens to this that soothes yourself with like alcohol or other drugs or anything like that. And you might notice that those are the only times that your brain really feels like it can just relax. Or you watch TV and you feel like your brain's really relaxed on that because you could try to focus on the show. Even though that's not quite the same thing as some of the things that we were saying. But you might notice that might be the only time you notice that things are different. So right now we're just training our brain to experience that more often and experience it in a healthy way, in a way that we can continue to do all the time, right? If alcohol is something that soothes your brain, you can't drink all the time. It's not good for your health. If you're like, okay, the only thing that calms me is food, well, you can't eat food constantly because that'll be bad for your health. So you have to find other ways and be willing to experiment a little bit, and that'll be cool. That'll be cool, and you'll have a fun time with it. And it'll be nice when you could slow down your thoughts and you just don't have to be racing. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I know that talking about it is helpful for me, and I know even just knowing, like, since I'm someone whose mind races sometimes, and just knowing different things that work for me, I hope that you're able to find different things that work for you as well. So, until next time, this is Craig with Mental Health Insights, and I wish you well, and I hope that you stay safe out there. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.